From the University of Vermont Continuing and Distance Education, we bring you student stories from the front lines of healthcare. UVM's post-baccalaureate pre-medical students are on the path towards a career in medicine. While they transition their schoolwork to remote learning during the coronavirus pandemic, they're also volunteering their time in a variety of health-related roles. We hear their inspiring stories as they tackle their coursework, help our most vulnerable in our community, and reaffirm their passion for medicine.
The pandemic is unfortunate, but this timing is absolutely amazing. As I read about things and as I continue to like research COVID-19 and just learn a little bit more about the virus with what's coming out, there's definitely just a larger urge and desire to get into the field and help. Had I gone to the other post-bac programs, which I was looking at, I don't know if I would have been able to say right now, you know, I'm going into the hospital every day, getting my temperature taken. I'm doing kind of front lines research concerning the pandemic.
So joining me today is Jasmine Bazinet Phillips, one of our post-bac pre-medical students, just finishing up our post-bac pre-medical program and starting to work towards MCAT preparation on your path to medical school. Jasmine, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk first about you are going into the hospital on, I don't know if it's a daily basis, but quite a bit in two different areas that you're working in. One is in the NICU, in the prenatal ward and area, and the other is a research project that you work on that interacts with the emergency department. Two kind of very different experiences, I would imagine. How often are you going in, and how often are you kind of dividing those duties?
For the emergency department, actually, my role has gone remote, and it has been remote since the beginning of kind of the COVID-19 happenings. But in the ED, when I'm working remotely, we only really actually have one study rolling right now, which is the START treatment and recovery study, STAR study for short, and that's for people who have opioid use disorder. So coordinating care with primary care providers in the in the community. And then we also are doing some COVID-19 research, kind of being led or spearhead by nurses, and then also physicians in the ED that are kind of seeing everything firsthand. The patient flow during this time has kind of mainly turned to respiratory distress, and it's kind of been a little bit slower than usual, but kind of more concentrated in terms of the chief complaints. But for me, I'm just remote, and that's kind of for the most part, like a daily basis, because it's a little bit more of a flexible kind of work from home thing. And I go in the mornings to the kind of labor and delivery newborn nursery floor. And that's where I'm screening babies for hearing. And I do that kind of like 3 to 5 days a week. And I do in the morning, and it's the way that the job works. It's depending upon like how many babies are born and how many babies are ready for screening. And that's kind of how it works. So starting last week, we started to get our temperature taken. And we do that every day. And we also have to verbally state if we've had any symptoms. We go through that checkpoint every day before walking into the hospital, which is a little bit different.
What is that like? Just on your own stress and your own mental health, to know that that you're walking into a hospital where your intention is to help heal and care, but you could be walking into something that could put you in harm's way too.
Yeah, so it's definitely like something to think about. And I feel like before going into healthcare, at least for someone maybe in my generation or just my spot, you don't think about, for example, like a COVID-19 pandemic. So it definitely kind of makes, you know, your roles just seem a little bit more serious and more pertinent. Then you also know as a healthcare worker, you're sometimes treating some of the most sickest, you know, people, and they do need your help. So, you know, you just make sure that you're doing the right things in terms of washing your hands. And we have really strong chemicals in the hospital. So sometimes I feel like it might be better to be in the hospital than at home, just because we have really great resources. One thing that I think is missing during kind of this time is preparation in terms of our institutions and PPE for everyone in the hospital. I can't really speak to kind of the UVM hospital, but it just kind of what I've been seeing nationally. there seems to be a lack of PPE, and it makes me really sad to see like nurses wearing trash bags for, you know, the smock, and nurses being told to hold their breaths while they pass rooms with people who are COVID-19 positive. It just is really sad, because I know personally, all the people who I've met through the UVM post-bac program, they want to be there, they want to help, and everyone in the ED is amazing. And it just makes me really sad, because I know the healthcare workers would do their job, and they're doing their job regardless of the PPE, but it's really just not fair to not have it be present.
Have you been concerned about that when you've gone in to help on the NICU ward?
So I definitely, it's something like I would say is in the back of my mind, but you just kind of do the best that you can, because at the end of the day, and my role is minor, but it is still a role, and it is really important, because we know hearing is connected to learning and language development. And so kind of when this all started rolling out, I thought, you know, well, technically I could just choose not to go in, but then you have a lot of like babies that haven't been screened. And so then is it fair to that patient? Is it fair to that family that, like, you know, they weren't able to get screened because they were born during a pandemic and everything was chaotic and people chose not to come in. And so I feel like in the healthcare system, everyone plays a role. Of course, that's in the back of my head, but you can try to do the best that I can to make sure I'm not bringing it home with me. For example, I kind of just took a shower after I got home and I sprayed everything with Lysol and kind of have this whole rigmarole heading to the washer, you know, right away. And so really just trying my best. And I think everyone else is doing that too.
So I think it's also interesting too. So you're essentially done with your post-bac courses, and you're now kind of moving into that growth year where you're taking the MCAT and you're just gaining more experience as you prepare applications for medical school. Has this experience confirmed more for you or renewed the passion that you have for medicine going through a learning experience as a post-bac student applying for medical school in the midst of a pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, I feel kind of blessed, honestly. It's kind of like unfortunate. The pandemic is unfortunate, but this timing is absolutely amazing. In terms of me thinking about kind of, because the post-bac program is just so fast, you're taking all these intense science courses, and then you're just gearing up to go to medical school. So then it's kind of like you just wake up and you're like, whoa, I'm done with all the prereqs. Like, here we go. So there's definitely been some time of like reflection. But as kind of I read about things and as I continue to like research COVID-19 and just learn a little bit more about the virus with what's coming out, there's definitely just a larger urge and desire to get into the field and help. Like, this is the time when you can apply medical knowledge to help our society. And that's kind of like the forefront of how we can help right now. So I really cherish the moments that I'm able to help with research by applying my newly found skills. And the absence, or really like the absence of a cure or vaccine for COVID-19, also draws me closer to my passion for medicine, because I'm constantly kind of just trying to read and learn more. And yeah, it's a great time for research, but it's obviously not a great time for many, many other things. Everything's really truly up in the air for the medical school admissions process. So when I say great, it's like maybe not the best word choice here, but it's definitely confirms that I want to be in this field and I want to help.
Let's back up for 2 seconds, because you and I've talked a couple different times, and I just love that your story is a unique one in your path to medicine. And so walk us through just your background in terms of your schooling and what you did and how you ended up here, you know, so close and on your path to become a doctor.
After graduating from college, I went back home to Baltimore, Maryland, and I taught in an early childhood classroom. So I taught kindergarten, first grade, and fourth grade. And I was a teacher for Teach for America. So I was very, honestly, I still am very passionate about educational disparities. And so even during this pandemic, I've of course been keeping up like on COVID research and like the medical side of things, but I've also very much so been tied in and tuned in and to like what resources are out there for students right now? What kind of disparities are there going to be in terms of work, you know, working from home or learning from home? And so I've been very tuned into that. Also, I have healthcare disparities that I'm very interested in because I saw that in my classroom. So I kind of did 3 years of Teach for America, started to really dive into ensuring literacy for all my students because I saw there were great gaps. And those are the foundational skills that you can really kind of hone in on as an early childhood educator. And so I kind of like was just reaching out to different, creating different partnerships and reaching out. And then I realized that there was a role that kind of pediatricians play. And then I kind of dived a little bit deeper into medicine. And then I started to kind of think like, well, you know, pediatrics, you get to see the babies, the moms kind of on the first day of life. and so I was like, it's in kindergarten. I felt like we were already too behind. So I was just kind of like thinking, okay, so let me think about a role. Let me think about kind of learning a little bit more about the internal mechanisms to ensure that everyone has the foundational skills to be successful. So I decided to apply to the post-bac program in my third year of teaching. And I'm really actually happy. I applied to a couple different programs, but I'm really happy that I ended up at UVM because UVM's program is a little bit different than the other post-bac programs. A lot of the post-bac programs kind of function kind of on in like a undergraduate, or they have a graduate campus, but they don't have a hospital right next door. And so with UVM, you get to really, you have that post-bac program and like, yes, you're with undergraduate students, but you're also have this amazing opportunity of just diving into the hospital right away and being in the clinical setting. And so had I gone to the other post-bac programs, which I was looking at, I don't know if I would have been able to say right now, you know, I'm going into the hospital every day, getting my temperature taken. I'm doing kind of front lines research concerning the pandemic. So that's kind of where I started and where I am. And I'm really interested in kind of the tie between the educational health disparities. So before this COVID-19 pandemic, I had made a connection with the Winooski School-Based Health Center. And so I was really excited to get in there, but obviously we'll have to wait.
Let's talk a little bit about you also, on top of going to do the research department and helping out at the hospital in the neonatal and the NICU. You also are helping to teach a class too. So tell us what the class is that you've been working on this semester.
It's a course called Emergency Medicine Research Associates Program. That's the program. And the course is Introduction to Emergency Medicine, or Surge 200 for short. So basically students are learning about how to get into emergency medicine. They're learning about kind of the different components of being a research associate in the ED. And they're also kind of just learning about like, what is the ED? What's the flow of the ED and everything like that. So it was a complete huge hit for our program and for the students and for the kind of the incoming course to not be able to go into the ED because it's just very much so an experiential like learning environment. They get a lot of shadowing experience. And so that's kind of missing. And they get to see so many kind of cool clinical exposure. So that's missing as well. But now we have some Zoom calls. We just did a clinical sim lab, but again, it's via Zoom and it's a little bit different.
What have you seen? Because as we know, everybody all over the world has moved to remote learning. What have you seen that has been working well for the students that you've been working with? Maybe thinking of some of those tips that could be offered to other students that are trying to navigate the remote learning.
I actually think this came at a good time because I feel like there was, I think, some resistance to technology and to the kind of prospects of remote learning and technology in the classroom. So I think this came at a really good time. And I think the students are easily adapting to the remote style of learning, to kind of sometimes having lectures posted and you learn on your own and everything like that. I would say some advice would just be, and like things that I've seen that have been working well, is just what I really appreciate about remote learning is that there's an opportunity for you to learn at your own pace. So for example, if you know, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time does not work for your schedule, then the lecture will be posted and then students can kind of gather the information there, where that's not always captured in, like, you know, a 200 person lecture hall, where someone just really might not be in the mental space to learn, but they can kind of get in the mental space and then they can pick it up at 5 p.m. So I think that's really great about the remote environment. And I've seen kind of students like really enjoying the chat as well as kind of, so you get a little bit more of a dynamic dialogue, not just a verbal dialogue with the class, but you also have a chat going. So I think it came at a really good time. So I'm hoping that all teachers, professors, and even students are going to take away kind of the things that work, because obviously you miss human interaction and kind of being with your peers on campus. But I think there's also some pluses.
Being a soon-to-be medical student and prepping for the MCAT while also working two different roles and helping with a class too, that's pretty stressful in itself. And now you're also adding on this other layer of just a concern for your own safety and people around you. How are you doing?
I would say that initially, kind of when all the like initial news was kind of rolling out, it just was happening so fast. So I really was like, I don't know if anyone was doing well because everything was just changing so rapidly. But I've kind of developed some coping strategies, because I honestly really do enjoy my time at home. So I think that's a plus. And I like kind of creating my own schedule. But some coping strategies that I've kind of developed are just making sure, you know, I'm getting outside, which I definitely agree you should do that. And I live next to the river in Winooski, so it's really great. Just in general, being in Vermont, getting outside, you'll probably never lose. But I love kind of making sure that I'm checking in, because I like to know what's happening, but I try to limit that. So I kind of more check in with like scientific sources, and I check in always with NPR Shortwave, and I love the Nocturnists. They just did a kind of Voices from the Pandemic similar to this, with different medical professionals. And so I could just kind of check in that way. But I, as the example of the student that might not want to chime in at 3 p.m. but just chooses to chime in at 5 p.m. I kind of choose the best time to chime in. Of course, you know, you still wanting to abide by like meeting times, but if it can be something that can wait, or if I feel like it needs to wait, then I definitely do that. And when anytime I start a call now, I always feel like I might have before this just kind of dove into the business, for example, but I always kind of more check in to see how people are doing, and yeah. And I choose to FaceTime instead of, you know, just calling people or something like that.
So let's just talk for a second and we'll kind of end on this. Coming into the post-bac program, new folks, it might look a little bit different. Back to your point, we might have more post-bac program courses online, truly online, not just remote learning, because I would say that there's a big difference, you know, between an online course and the remote learning that everybody had to scramble to do so quickly. And so there will be a lot more structure put behind the development of some of the post-bac online courses. Any advice or, you know, words of wisdom as somebody who's made it through the program for somebody considering this program and coming in to a new environment?
I would just say, I got my master's in Master of Science in Education. And really it was kind of a half and half online and in person. Really the in-person was more just like working with the community and working with the students. And so I really think there's a lot of benefits to online learning, but I think there's a distinction, as you said before, like right now we're experiencing remote learning, but on top of that remote learning, like we can't like gather and kind of do the things that makes life fun. And I think that's kind of separate from the classroom. And so I think if things went online, that probably would provide a little bit more flexibility for students in terms of getting into the hospital sooner, because I know like myself and other post-bacs kind of in my year, we'd always say like, I mean, we just really, some people would work and some people wouldn't. And if they were working, like, it's just, you really don't have that much time to work kind of going in and in person and doing that full course schedule. So I think if things go online, the component that might be missing would be like just the fun part, which I always love, which is the like hands-on, you know, organic chemistry lab. Honestly, if all the like lectures went online, I think I would have, because I think a lot of the post-facts are, we're just older. We're going to get that content. Of course, I think labs, I don't think you can really dig too deep into that if it's online. But the lectures, I don't think that would be an issue. You're getting the content. And I think it would free up people's schedules to get into the hospital and like get more clinical experience right off the bat. So I think there's opportunity in the changes.
This has been a UVM student story from the front lines of healthcare with our post-baccalaureate pre-medical students. The post-baccalaureate pre-medical program is designed to provide students with a prerequisite coursework and access to research and direct patient care experiences prior to applying to health and medical school. Learn more at learn.uvm.edu.